How many of you have ever heard the words around the Christmas time, "It's not fair"? I find that it's very often we hear the words "it's not fair." It sometimes comes when we're talking about presents and who's getting something and who's not getting it. Jonathan, what do you want for Christmas? A DS. So if your sister got a DS and you didn't, do you think that would be fair? No. A good answer. Thank you. I actually didn't tell him to say that. Thanks, Jonathan. But we find this, then you spend a certain amount of time with the in-laws, but not as much time with your family. And you say, "Hey, it's not fair. Come on." Y'all are looking at me like you've never had that discussion before. On and on these things go. It's not fair. And I know, sadly, the selfishness in my own life, I have had those thoughts as I received a gift and somebody else got something better, and I thought, this isn't fair. But you know, as I began to think about how often we hear this saying, "it's not fair," I realized that Christmas really isn't fair. Christmas isn't fair, but not for the reasons that we don't think it's fair. Let me read Matthew 1:18-25. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quickly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" Now, when I read verse 21, that the Savior would be born, his name would be Jesus, and he would save us from our sins, I think to myself, that is unfair. That is unfair. And I want to give you just a few of the many reasons why God coming in human flesh, being called Jesus, coming to save us, is unfair. Christmas really isn't fair because, here's the first thing, Jesus was separated from the Father so that we could be joined to the Father. That is unfair. See, suffering began immediately in the life of Jesus. Why? Because he had had a relationship with his Heavenly Father, with our Heavenly Father, for all of eternity. Hard for our minds to grasp eternity, but forever and ever and ever before the world existed, Jesus, the Son, and the Father had a perfect relationship along with the Holy Spirit. And it is hard for us to imagine, but I want you to think about the person in your life that is the greatest friend to you, or that you have the greatest relationship, maybe a spouse, maybe a parent. Maybe you don't have anyone. You think of who you think who the ideal person would be in your life. I want you to think about that ideal, perfect relationship forever and ever and ever. And I tell you that whatever relationship you have in your mind pales in comparison to the relationship that Jesus Christ had with the Father for all of eternity. And yet he left heaven with the Father and came to earth as a man, and they were separated. That's why I believe that immediately, as soon as Jesus arrived here separated from his Father, he began to feel suffering. Jesus was separated from the Father only so that we could be joined to the Father. John 17:4-5 says, Jesus says, "I glorified you on earth," speaking to the Father, "having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." Here is God in perfect glory, but leaving glory to come to earth. So the first reason that Christmas isn't fair is because Jesus was separated from the Father so that we could be joined to the Father. Here's the second reason. Christmas is not fair because Jesus took on discomfort in every way so that he could be our all-sufficient comforter. There was nothing in heaven that wasn't comfortable and perfect. Everything was cush and glorious beyond our imagination. I want you to think about our president and his wife. Now, regardless of what your thoughts are, love him, hate him, somewhere in between, that is not the issue. I want you to picture how the president and his wife are treated. I mean, the coffee in the morning brewed up and handed to them with white gloves exactly how they want it. I mean, everything special treatment. I want you to imagine that Michelle Obama is pregnant. She goes and she has her baby in the slums of New York City. That would be a little shocking. I don't know that that wouldn't make front page news around the world. The president and the wife of the United States of America having a child in the slums of New York City. But that is nothing compared to the contrast from what God the Son left in order to come to this world and be born in a manger in a stable. I love the song Silent Night and Away in a Manger. But we don't know how silent that night was. It may have happened in the day when he was born. And if you've ever had a child or watched your wife have a child, you know there's not a whole lot silent about it. And sometimes we take the birth of Jesus and we move it to some kind of divine birth. Listen, Jesus was born like any other human being has ever been born. Divinely conceived, but born like you and I. So you have Mary, probably seriously hurting because she just had a baby in a stable. You have baby Jesus, probably looking like a little alien like every other baby that has ever been born. Sorry, I know, except for yours. Except for yours, every other baby is born looking like a little alien. Jesus is born, and then I'm sure still has the film on him, the little umbilical cord that had been cut, was a baby boy and laid into a manger that was meant for animals to eat out of. And I just want to tell you that animals did not start stinking and going to the bathroom after Jesus was born. In fact, that started before Jesus was born. Here is the sovereign God, the Son of the universe, the creator of the world, leaving his throne above and being born in a stable. A stable. Jesus took on discomfort in every way so that he could be our all-sufficient comforter. See, it didn't just stop with Jesus in the manger, in a stable. But Jesus would continue throughout his life to live as a man. He would eat, he would drink, he would be sick, he would do everything just like you and I. But having left his eternal home, he had more discomfort than we can ever imagine for our sake. Here's the third reason why Christmas really isn't fair. Christmas really isn't fair because Jesus grew in obedience so that we could be given his righteousness, even though we're growing in disobedience. See, here's the reality. Jesus Christ, from the time he was born, Scripture says, grew in wisdom and in stature. He grew in learning what it meant to be obedient. Sometimes people say, well, I know it says that he was tempted. I know that it says he has suffered in ways that we have suffered. But how can that really be? I mean, he's God. I mean, that's kind of not fair. Here's the reality, though. Jesus Christ suffered and was tempted in ways that you and I can't possibly comprehend because you and I have never stood up to the temptation fully. See, you and I only get to a certain point and level of temptation, then what do? We give in and we sin. So we don't even know what it would feel like to follow out temptation and never give in to sin and reach the heights of temptation. But Jesus Christ did exactly that. Jesus Christ was tempted in every way and never gave in. He experienced discomfort in a way that we don't possibly know and was obedient in every way so that He could give us His righteousness. That's not fair. Here's the last reason it's not fair. Christmas really isn't fair because Jesus took the wrath of God so that we could have peace. And Jesus took death so that we could have life. The most unfair thing that ever happened to Jesus is the very purpose in which He was born. Jesus Christ coming to this earth, awful. I mean, we all want to go to heaven, to leave this earth. Jesus Christ leaves heaven and comes to this earth. He experiences all the discomfort. He experiences life as a man. But why wasn't Jesus immediately just killed as a baby if He came to die? You ever thought about that? If God sent Him here to die, then why didn't the Father have Him crucified just a few days after He was born? Well, because He had to live, as we just talked about, that perfect life of obedience, so that when He hung on the cross and He died, He not only could take the full wrath of God that was meant for you, but that He could offer you also His perfect life and His righteousness. See, what was required of you to ever have a relationship with God and be in heaven is for you to live a 100% perfect life. Raise your hand if you've screwed that one up. Both hands. Jesus Christ lived the life that you and I couldn't live and haven't lived. But because of that, we deserve the wrath of God. For all who have sinned deserve the wrath of God. And His wrath is coming, except for those who put their faith in Him, because Jesus Christ was born in a manger, lived an uncomfortable life, all for the purpose that He would hang on the cross and take the wrath of God that was for you. That, my friends, is not fair. Christmas really isn't fair. Because you and I deserve none of the Christmas story. But because of the love and the grace of God, He did send His only Son. And He did allow His Son to experience all the unfairness of the entire world so that He could redeem us. And until you see a lamb lying in the manger, a lamb that was born to die, you will never truly understand Christmas, and you will never truly understand why there's nothing fair about Christmas. For some of you, today and tomorrow and throughout the year is a time of celebration. A time of celebration that even though it's unfair, God the Father showed His grace upon us by sending His Son. And we rejoice. We rejoice and we worship because the most unfair thing, killing the Son of God, is the greatest gift we could ever imagine. For that, we celebrate Christmas. But for some of you, Christmas really isn't much of a celebration. Maybe a time to see family. Maybe a time to give some gifts to people you love. But really doesn't have much more meaning than that. And I would challenge you, if that's the case, then really your life as a whole, you are still looking for meaning and purpose. Just as you don't see the meaning and purpose in Christmas, you struggle to find meaning and purpose in this world. Why? Because we were created to know and to love and to worship God Almighty. But because of sin, we have been separated from Him. But praise God for the Christmas story, that today can be the day of salvation for you. Jesus says, if you repent, you turn from your old life and you believe and put your faith in me alone, in Christ alone, then you have the full hope of eternity because you are given the greatest gift imaginable, the life and the wrath taken of Jesus Christ. That is good news. And it's the greatest gift the world has ever known. Have you known that gift? Have you made it yours? Are you a child of the King of the universe? Bow your heads. I want to read to you from Isaiah 53. I just want you to listen to these words as Isaiah speaks of our Savior. For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts that Christmas has happened, that the one whom all of creation has waited for, that would reverse the curse of sin, has come. And that salvation is here. And I thank you. I thank you that your one and only Son, in whom you love in a way we cannot fathom, you sent to a manger in a stable to be born in human flesh for no other reason than to die so that we could have salvation. I pray for the souls who are here that don't know you as their Savior. May they not put off the words that you are speaking to their hearts even now. May today be the day of salvation in Jesus Christ, in whom we worship even now. Amen.